Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss, I welcome you all for the Torrent Pharma Q1 FY17 earnings conference call. From Torrent Pharma's management today, we have on call Mr. Ashok Modi, Executive Director, Mr. Sanjay Gupta, Executive Director of International Business, and Mr. Dhruv Gulati, Executive Director of India and ROW Businesses. I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Gupta now for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. First of all, I would like to apologize for this slight delay. We had a board meeting which continued a little bit beyond the scheduled time. So our apologies for this delay. I would like to start by commenting upon the underlying trends of our business. So putting aside the issue of comparables and things like that. So starting with India, which is our home country, the formulation business in India achieved revenues of about 509 crores compared to 492 crores during the same period last year, with a growth of 3%. The hygiene initiatives that we had initiated in India, they had started in the Q2 of last year period. In order to build a sustainable prescription-driven model, we have increased our focus on trade, and that will contribute an even greater proportion of our revenues going forward. We've also, our business has been impacted to a limited extent by the new measures of NELEM. Our PCPM in the Indian business continues to increase and has reached a level of 6 lakh during Q1. This is 24% higher than a year ago. Our focus on brand building continues, and our top 5 brands continue to grow at mid-double-digit rates. The two elder brands, Shelcal and Carmoral, continue to perform strongly with AOICD MAC 16 Shelcal sales of 307 crores plus 20% and Carmoral sales of 135 crores plus 19% on a MAT basis. In the Indian market during Q1, Torrent also launched Teneglipton and Metformin combination, further strengthening our core focus on diabetes. Our second largest branded generic business is in Brazil, and Torrent Brazil also has turned the corner during this quarter in terms of underlying business growth as well as the impact of the foreign exchange fluctuations in Brazil. As for close-up, which is roughly equivalent to the IMS in Brazil, Torrent has experienced an underlying growth in BRL of 26% compared to a covered market growth of 22% and an overall ethical market growth of 15%. Revenue growth in INR was 21%. The authorities in Brazil allowed us to take a 12.5% price increase in April, and Torrent, like most of the industry peers, has taken all the allowable price increases. Torrent has also recently received approval for 3 new product launches in Brazil, and we would be launching them in the next 12 months, and I hope to report on them later this year. Our PCPM in Brazil has attained a level of VIS 110,000 compared to a 1-year prior level of about 70,000. On the generic side, moving our focus to the U.S., excluding aripiprazole, our underlying business continues to show low double-digit growth rate. We have received recently approval for 6 products from the Dahej plant, and we shipped a substantial volume during Q1. We are also optimizing the production capacities at our Indrad facility to meet the incremental demand in the U.S. as well as in other territories. The recent U.S. launches of Tolterirone and Esomeprazole continue to perform well and are on track to with respect to market shares as well as revenue. IMS tends to underestimate our shares, and we can discuss that during the call. As of today, Torrent has filed 3 ANDAs in the U.S. in fiscal year 17, including one dermatology product. The efforts undertaken so far in ramping up the R&D organization as well as resources has started to yield results. Out of the 3 ANDAs filed, 1 was filed in Q1, and 2 were filed in early part of July. We expect a few more ANDAs to be filed this quarter and will provide an updated number during Q2 results. In sum, we have today 17 ANDAs pending approval at the FDA, and on top of the 17, we have 6 tentatively approved ANDAs. As a reminder, we have about 54 approved ANDAs as of today. As far as other territories are concerned, we expect performance to improve as we are able to increase the availability of product thanks to capacities available at all our facilities as we ramp up the age. With that, we can open the call to questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Nimesh Mehta from Research Delta Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted, you mentioned about India business being impacted by the hygiene issues, but the current growth rate has been much lower than what we had seen in the previous quarter soon after when we took this initiative of discontinuing incentives. So, and, that is one. And if you can also let us know as to what is the IMS growth rate of our India business, because that would show the underlying sales growth momentum.
Yeah, in fact, if you look at the overall market growth, it is basically because of NLEM and FDC market as per AIOC data. For the month of June, market growth has gone down to 6%, which is among the lowest ever trend in the last three years. Due to this NLEM implementation, there was a brief holdback of sales in April, and thus our growth has been impacted due to the same. The changes like reduction of bonus scheme and discount business was initiated last year in Q2, and their full year impact will be seen going forward in Q2 and Q3. Even our inventory level, if you look at, stands at 14 days as against 19 days as suggested by our relentless focus on the prescription growth and the initiatives which we have taken. So overall, if you look at the prescription growth or the, the trade growth is much better than the market growth. So the initiative which we had taken last year actually has started giving us dividend, and the real impact of it you shall be seeing in Q2 and Q3.
So what has been our IMS growth or AIOCD growth for this quarter?
For this quarter, the growth is, TPL growth is -1%.
Why do we think that this April issue of whatever supply constraint has impacted, because the underlying growth?
As I said, we have taken certain measures, and schemes, discounted business, as well as we have not been focusing on AI, that is anti-infective. If you remove these two, the market has shown a growth of 9% instead of 6%, and there our growth is 6% instead of -1%. And that's the reason I'm saying that since we started this initiative in Q2 last year, the whole year impact and the real effect of this you will see in Q2 and Q3. So,
okay, so what is the growth you expect in India in the rest of the quarters?
See, we feel that our growth will be much better than the market growth, which will be much better growth because, as I said, we took the initiatives in Q2, so the real impact you will see in Q2, Q3, as well as in Q4, and overall our growth will be better than the market growth.
Yeah, but on the retail level, we are still not seeing growth being better than, because retail should not get impacted by the channel-related steps that we have taken. So that is what I'm still struggling to understand, because how are we going to change it now, even if I take the retail growth as the underlying growth for the company?
See, as I said, our inventory is also down. It is, if you look at the year's inventory against the industry average of 19 days, our inventory is of about 14 days. And the initiatives which we have taken, I'm sure you will see the change from the month of August.
I think Mr. Gulati is elaborating is that the stoppage of discounted business has also impacted the AOSCD retail figures. And what you should expect is a bounce back on those figures in the next quarter. And our confidence in the business level is that the underlying, the growth during this fiscal year should be at above market level.
It will be above the market level.
And the major impact should wash out during Q1 because the measures started in India during the beginning of Q2.
Okay. Okay. The other thing, I saw the reconciliation that you did between the Indian accounting, the previous GAAP and the new accounting standard. So in that, according to the previous accounting standard, you mentioned the net profit to be 357 crores. So I mean, that looks pretty high given that we had at about 292 crores. So what would be the resultant EBITDA if we were to go back to the Indian previous gap, Indian gap?
Look, the result, the reconciliation.
You're talking about which period reconciliation?
This quarter in the.
There is no reconciliation for this quarter. That is for the previous quarter. You please see the date.
I saw that. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
No problem.
Yeah. Finally, on the R&D, if you can throw some light, because you had guided about 7% and we just did about 4-5%. So what is that you should be looking at?
So I would say that we would reach the 7-8% level by the end of the year. So it's ramping up, and you know, our objective is to reach about 8%, but it is still not there.
So it will happen in the rest of the quarters. The ramp up will go up to almost 8% for the full year.
See, the spend, obviously, when you are ramping it up, it will happen over a period of time, over 3-4 quarters. So it started rising and it should continue to rise. If you see for this quarter or quarter basis, there is a substantial rise on an absolute basis.
Right. Okay.
So the things are happening, and obviously it will take its own time for the full thing to become operational. You know?
We are right now at 6% of sales. So it has gone up by 62% and to about 91 crores, right?
Okay, fine. And if you lastly can tell us the market share that we have gained in Detrol LA and Nexium, and also about a probable launch of Renagel Renvela, that is Sevlamer.
I won't be able to tell you a precise timing. So for Sevlamer, we have responded to all the FDA queries and we're just waiting for some feedback. So I cannot give any guidance on as to when that would be available. On Esomeprazole, IMS is showing a torrent share of only 1%. I can confirm to you that our share is in the mid-single digits. Mm-hmm. And then for Toleridone, IMS is showing a sale of about a share for Torrent on as per May, IMS of about 17%. So our share is slightly higher than that. And it's a four-player market, and we feel that we've attained our fair share of that market. So.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Bakhru from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sanjay, just on Brazil, if you could comment on what are the approval timelines right now, and I mean, given that you have some new approvals, what is the outlook in the market?
So the approval timelines in Brazil are still to the extent of about 2 years. So that has, you know, come down a little bit. What has improved with Anvisa is the level of communication. And so for a period of time, for the last few years, they were just rejecting dossiers and not really engaging in a dialogue or raising queries, and the bar was moved higher and higher in a somewhat I would say arbitrary manner. So what we've seen is that Anvisa has become much more flexible in terms of initiating and having a dialogue in explaining to us the issues that we might have and giving us an opportunity to address the same issues. So, you know, going forward, our objective in Brazil is to file 5 to 10 products a year. So, and you know, so the eventually in a year or two's time, our launches would be about five launches a year also. So that is the reason why we've recently obtained these 3 approvals, and you should expect them to be launched in the next 6 months.
And this price hike is taken on the overall portfolio, or is it few selected products?
So for most of the products, because the price situation is evaluated product by product based on the competition scenario. But most of our Brazilian competitors are also taking the maximum price hike. So Torrent has, generally speaking, for, I would say, the vast majority of its portfolio has taken the price hike.
Right. And on the India side, I'm just like still curious if last quarter it mentioned you had taken material price hike in Shelcal, Chymoral. Is that still yet to show in quarter numbers, or is that impact visible?
The impact has already started.
There will be no incremental per se impact from those price hikes, right?
See, what we do is, as per the guidelines, we take a price hike once in 12 months, once the 12 months period is over. So accordingly, we decide and we take whatever is best possible, looking at the competition and the competitive brand, accordingly we decide and we take normally the full advantage of this price increase.
It's already reflected in the system.
Okay,
and just again on the US bit, if you could throw some color on particularly part where the glaucoma will exactly help in the overall filings, what kind of API capabilities does that bring in advantage from those facilities particularly?
So Torrent today has two API plants, one is in Indrad and one is in the Dahej. The capacity of these two plants is not so large. So adding Glochem actually increases our capacity, overall API capacity by about 35%. So it allows us to be more vertically integrated. It allows us greater control of supply chain. And Glochem was already, in the sense, approved by Torrent as a contract manufacturer for some APIs. So it allows us to bring in-house a facility that is relatively well-known to us. And it is our long-term objective to be more vertically integrated in the U.S. From API perspective. And so it's a step in that direction. But is it like, it doesn't change the overall dynamics of the business. It's a nice plus to have, and it adds to our capabilities. But on the whole, it's incorporated in our pipeline strategy, and we will be doing more in-house APIs. So our objective is to file roughly 10 to 12 DMFs every year, and Glochem would contribute to that.
Right, and just lastly, if I can squeeze, on the European side, I mean, there was this particular news that you might be looking for some assets from Teva. I'm basically looking at description of what it could be, but are you looking at Europe as a region where you want to probably acquire something?
So in terms of external growth, our priorities are clearly, the four tier one countries that we have. So those being, I would say, in order of priority, it's India, of course. So India external growth is few and far between now in terms of opportunities. We've been pursuing for some time in the U.S. and we're also interested in growing externally in Brazil as well as Germany and the U.K. So those are all the markets where we are evaluating all the opportunities that arise. We clearly feel that, our size in the U.K. is not appropriate. So, we are subscale in that market, and that market is very close to the model that we have in the U.S., and it's something that we understand and we would like to grow there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Just one question on the R&D. If you see, we are at about 6% of sales right now. As we progress towards 8% of sales, that will roughly amount to increasing R&D further by 40%. Now, just the question here is that there is a rough idea that if we divide R&D into two parts, average number of projects that we're working on versus average spend on a project, where is the large part of the increase going to happen? I understand both will increase, but where will the large increase happening for us?
So are you, Anubhav, asking that is the cost of project going on more important than the number of projects, right?
Exactly, right. So spend per ANDA and number of ANDAs. Where is the larger increase happening?
So the larger increase in the number of ANDAs. So I'll give you a brief outlook. So we have about 140 projects in the pipeline, which is more a number greater than we've ever had in the past. Inside these 140 projects, there's a fair chunk of dermatology projects which come from the Zig Pharma acquisition. And some of these projects are a little bit more expensive because they involve skin blanching studies or clinical trials. But the overwhelming cause is the increase in the number of the products followed by the cost per project.
Okay, that's helpful. And just a related question that for us, the personal cost has increased by almost 20% year-on-year in this quarter. Where would we have added? My understanding is that normal increments would have been of the order of about 6 to 8%. So where have we added people largely? Is that driven by R&D, incremental number of people there, or is it driven by the age coming in?
It is a combination of three factors. One is, like you rightly say, with a normal increment, and second is the additional people in R&D as well as the head. And the third is that we did a bit of rejig with our leave policy for field staff, and that resulted in some one-time payoff of leave encashment. So So all these factors together have increased this by the quantum which you are saying. It is not a normal increase, it's a one-off sort of an increase.
And how much is the one-time payoff? Is that material?
No, it's not material. On an annual basis, it's not material.
No, but for this quarter number, which is about 252 crores, would you say that number will be less than 10 crores or more than 10 crores?
More than 10 crores.
More than 10 crores, okay. Just a couple of more questions. Sanjay, for the U.S. sales, the decline that we have seen almost by $11 million, would you attribute that largely, would that be driven by Amplify and rest of our base business is largely intact?
So, let's be careful as to how we call it. So, business of Torrent, excluding MVP Puzzle, has grown at, I would say, low double digits.
Okay, so it's just largely driven by Epic results. And what has changed this decline in this market? Because no new competition came up, but IMS also shows a very significant erosion in the market as a whole for Amplify.
Anubhav, you're referring to Epic Prozo?
Yeah, absolutely, correct.
So there was a new launch. About 6 weeks ago, one of my U.S. competitors got approval, and that resulted in another round of price decreases.
Oh, I know Amneal got approval, but I was assuming that since at the fag end of the quarter would not have impacted the quarter so much, because IMS has been showing a decline in this market right from April and May as well.
Yeah, no, there is a decline, let's say, every couple of months, and Amneal just accelerated that decline. So, yeah, there have been periodic declines in this, and not necessarily because of new entrants prior to Amneal. What happened also was that there were many RFPs issued out by buyers, so which basically reset the clock at zero for some buyers.
Have we lost market share in this process, or is it only price erosion for us?
Let's say that I'm not unhappy with my market share. So I don't want to comment upon individual customers and things like that. But on the whole, we've done a good job with the market share.
And just one question, Brazil market as well. So if stripping for price increase, we are seeing almost 20% growth, volume growth. That's very healthy. That doesn't tie up so much with the Brazilian economy right now. So what's driving this without any getting new approval, such a sharp growth?
So the underlying growth in Brazilian market in units is about 8%. So our growth is a little higher than that. And essentially what it is driven by is a very simple, we are operating in three areas, which is the CNS, cardio and diabetes. All three areas grow higher than the pharma market. And also we've focused very narrowly on a small group of 10 brands. So as of today, Torrent has about 10 brands, which each has sales greater than 15 million reais. So as a result of which, focused brand building efforts on some of the larger products, and with a dedicated CNS and a dedicated cardio-diabetic field force, we are seeing good traction in Brazil. So I think that, this trend hopefully should continue in the future.
Okay. Sorry, one more question on India. What is the impact of NLEM changes and the WPI price increase for us in this quarter? Roughly, if you can quantify that number, it will help us put this 3% growth into context.
See, overall NLEM impact for us is about 14 to 15%. That's the portfolio that is affected with the NLEM. But if you look at the total IPM, the total industry, it is about 20%. So as against 20% of IPM, we are impacted by about 14 to 15%. And FDC component, if you look at it, is very negligible. In fact, for the industry, if you look at it, is about 3%, while for us, it will be about 0.25%. There's hardly any impact of FDC.
So when you have to cut price by 2.7% on this 15% portfolio, that's only means that 3% of sales would have been impacted because of that.
Yeah.
And yes. Another impact of NLEM pricing change could have been another one. So would you say the 4% is a right reflection of growth? If these changes had not happened, we could have grown by another 4%?
That you can assume, but also see, I have been again repeating, there are certain measures which we had taken last year, like the discount business, the overall scheme bonus which we discontinued in the Q2, so it was Q1 where we had the impact of all this. If you take out this AI scheme and bonus, our growth against the market growth of 9% would be something around 6%. Still there is gap. I don't say that we are at par with the industry in Q1. It is less than the market, and we are hopeful that the measures which we have taken and with the one full year impact, it is going to be more than the market.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The industry.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Sanjay, in the U.S., I mean, when we look at the quarter, and we look out using this quarter as a base, I mean, how comfortable are you with the, you know, are there still elements of the business which can get materially eroded as we go forward, or do you think it's a stabilized base on which you can grow if the new product approvals begin to come through?
So this year definitely will not be a growth year for Torrent in the U.S. You know, it's just the law of comparables would catch up with us. But we have a few, a few jokers in the pack. Starting with, we launched Toldredone and Esomeprazole towards the end of last calendar year. And both these products have some runway ahead of them. We also have increased volumes which are reaching to us from the Dahej facility, which allows me to build market share for a few products. And then I have 10 launches. A priori, none of these launches are look like blockbuster type launches, but still, some of them could yield surprises. So taken together, these three factors would mitigate the impact of the Aripiprazole price decline. But clearly, I have no illusions that they will not mitigate 100% and you'll be on a negative growth this year.
No, what I meant is in terms of looking at this quarter and where Aripiprazole was for this quarter, do we see material declines on it going forward also, or we pretty much hit like a bottom around Aripiprazole contribution in the business now?
I don't want to jinx it, but we are still far from the bottom.
Okay. And secondly, in terms of the newer approvals you're talking about, when do you see some of these approvals really begin to come through? Because we haven't had much in the first few months.
We haven't had in the first quarter. This will start from the, I'm expecting my first launches to be towards the end of August.
And what's the view on Crestor in terms of when do we see our approval for that?
So in Crestor, Torrent was not first to file, so we would get approval in the October time frame.
Okay. And secondly, on Brazil, you mentioned 10 brands. So, I mean, Brazil exactly, we're just selling all of 10 products? Is all we have in the market over there?
No, we're selling 35 products.
And when you said 10 brands, of those 10 brands are more than 15 million riyal?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just a follow-up from one of the previous questions. So when you say that 15% comes under NLEM and, 2.7% kind of decline we would have taken over there, so that explains around, 0.4-0.5% kind of impact on growth. We have grown at 3% and then 0.25% is because of FDC even if we take the full impact. So that would be still less than 4%. So when we say 6% growth adjusting for, the discounting, does that mean that, that would account for 2% kind of growth? Is this the math?
It's getting a little, tangled up. So I would suggest that why don't we give Sudhir Menon a call afterwards tomorrow and he can walk you through the detailed calculation if he can. But the overall portfolio that got impacted is 10 to 15% of Torrent's portfolio.
Yeah.
That's the first figure that we gave out. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the impact on pricing of this 10 to 15% Gulati sir, what is the impact?
It is WPI, which is about 2.7%. So that was the impact. Plus the most important thing is, see, in the month of April when it was announced, we had taken a conscious call and it was a strategy to supply only the sticker stock. We did not supply even one strip without the stickering. Because of that, we had lost some sale. As I said in the beginning, April was somewhat low because of the NLEM full implementation. and that we could somewhat adjust somewhere in the month of May as well as in the month of June. So there has been some impact of NLEM. It is not that it has not been there. Plus the other measures which we had taken last year. So cumulatively it has affected the overall growth in Q1.
Okay, and the second question is, so how? So when you say that, you know, we should be doing rest of the 9 months, we should be doing better than market growth. So what is the market growth we are assuming over here? I'm assuming that it should be in high single digits. Is this the right number which you are taking?
Yeah, the forecast is that as per AIOCD, this year it will be somewhere around 9 to 10% growth. That is what they have projected for this year.
Yeah. So, for the next 9 months, we should be doing double-digit growth.
Actually, we will be better than the market, I said.
Yeah. Fair enough. And in terms of margins, you know, how should we look at? Because, you know, in Brazil as well as in India, our productivity has improved quite a bit. So how should we look at this? So the current margins which we are delivering, how much of that is sustainable going forward?
See, if you look at the India business, although there has been impact of NLEM margin in the, that is 1 to 1.2, but it is not much, but the restructuring what we have done for our various division, keeping in mind the specific specialty focus and the kind of the brand building what we have done, and also the hygienic factors which we have taken up, this will definitely help us to improve the overall operating margin for India business.
So the branded generic business, the beauty lies in is that if you get your commercial model right, you have a sustainable operating leverage. So going forward, I would say that for a BG business, be it India or Brazil, we are looking at constantly improving margins, and there's no reason why the margins should not get better in both of these markets.
Yeah.
Correct. Fair enough. I have more questions. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much. Just on your comment, Sanjay, that you mentioned that you expect to be in Rosuvastatin in October. I thought, you know, would you not be waiting for 180 days?
Yeah, I think the 180 days probably started from the Actavis launch, actually. So
Okay. Yeah. Okay, got you. And as you see the market right now, do you see this to be an attractive enough market?
It is not as attractive as people thought it would be.
So I think if we have a starting point of $3 billion branded sales,
I think a good estimate would be 1 to 2%.
Really? So it's $30 to $60 million, right?
I'm not selling the product yet, so it's not appropriate for me to comment, but you know, the kind of feedback that we received is that the prices at which some of our peers might be selling would be in that range, might be a little bit higher. You should check with the commercializing companies, but the market is fairly competitive as of now.
Okay, so I'm sure you're not looking forward to October now. Okay, Sanjay, the second question is on Nexium. I would guess that there are at least three people who are waiting for approval, and that may happen anytime over the next 3-4 months.
Sure.
And then there's another half a dozen who may come, you know, over next 12 to 24 months. Is that what your assessment of the competitive dynamics be?
Yeah, from what I know from the various sources, there are six in the wings. So, yeah, overall what you have said is correct.
Okay. But you are not seeing them active right now in terms of discussions, and you're not seeing any imminent price correction.
No, I'm not seeing any pre-marketing activities from any of these guys.
Okay, this is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Sharma from IAFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Sir, I had two questions. First is on depreciation and amortization. Is the full impact of the Dahej visible in this quarter? How should we look at this number going forward? And the second one is along the similar line on your tax rate.
As far as the Dahej is concerned, the phase one is not fully capitalized because it's not fully operational. So the depreciation would go up as we move forward. But together with that, the output also will increase once the balance of the plant gets commercialized. So on an overall basis, it shouldn't really adversely impact the overall working. What was the second question?
Tax.
Tax is something we, this quarter is exceptionally low.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I would say it should be higher than this.
In what range, if you could guide us?
So it could be close to the MAT rate, I would guess.
For the full year?
Yes, that's what it appears as of now.
Sure. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from DSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So, first of all, if I look at your U.S. revenues, I think you've declined almost $12 million for quarter over quarter, you know, this quarter compared to the last quarter of last fiscal. Now, would you say that the decline in Abilify revenues have been more than $12 million and we have seen some growth in revenue from Nexium and Detrol? So should we assume like, say, Abilify has declined $15-20 million in revenue quarter over quarter?
We don't like to discuss revenues by product. So I have, you know, we provided you with overall numbers. I've given you some numbers on underlying growth. So I leave it to your modeling skills to model it by product. And but on the whole, Abilify, of course, the prices have gone down. And but besides that, you know, we've had the positive compensatory effect of Nexium and Toltaridone. And you know, our disclosure policies are such that we would not like to comment upon revenues by product. So you know.
I appreciate that, Sandeep. No problem. What I just wanted to understand was that the only negative contribution would be from Abilify or are other products in your product basket?
Oh, no, there is the underlying base business price impact, which is an ongoing factor in the U.S. generic business, which is nothing new for everybody. So what we experience is some companies have given guidance of, you know, double digit and all that. Our underlying assumption and what our experience is telling us is it's more in the 5% to 7% range this year. So for certain customers, for certain products, there are declines. But, you know, there are other factors which are negative also besides Abilify.
Understood. That's helpful. And secondly, on the Dahej plant, so what is, in the previous question, I think Ashok sir commented that the has come only up to the extent of commercialization phase-wise. What is the capacity utilization today and where do we expect the capacity utilization to be, let's say, by the end of the year?
By the end of the year, we should be close to 6 million tablets.
Which is phase 100%.
I'm sorry?
Which should be 100% capacity.
No, it should be about 70-80%. And then next year we would be doing some degree of deep bottlenecking. So phase 1 full capacity is likely to be 750.
Okay, understood. And currently what is the capacity utilization during the quarter, last quarter? What was the capacity utilization?
Capacity utilization during the last quarter would have been about? Just a minute. Yeah. See, what's happening is, Aditya, the capacity utilization is about 50%, but what's happening is that we are getting the product approvals one by one from US FDA. So the capacity utilization is getting ramped up as and when we keep on receiving the new approvals.
So on that point, Aditya, we have, as of today, about 6 products approved from Dahej. And by the end of the year, we expect about 12 products to be approved.
Right, but did I hear you correctly? Is it 50% capacity utilization towards the last quarter?
during the last quarter.
During 1QFI17.
Yes, I think it should be in that sense. Because by that time, we should also see some German approvals in place, which will help us to further ramp up the capacity utilization.
No, that's okay. So basically, out of the 6 billion capacity, we produced 3 billion doses by 750 million tablets from Dahej in the first quarter of FY17.
No. Okay, 600 will be the year end. So current capacity is lower than that. Current capacity is closer to about 350.
350. So 50% of 350.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. No, so if my memory serves me correct, and Ashok sir, you can answer this maybe. So if my memory serves me correct, I think the Dahej total capacity which we had initially planned was 6 billion in first phase and then another 6 or 7 billion tablets in second phase, putting a total of 12 to 13 billion tablet capacity in Dahej.
Right.
So is that plan changed, or so why are we at 3.5 billion right now? I mean,
That plan is not changed. What happens is that we started commercial operations once we started getting the product approvals from US FDA. So some part of the plant and some of the equipments are still in the process of getting installed. So I would say it is a partial completion of phase one.
Got it. So by year end, you expect to complete phase one and then utilize phase one by 70%.
That's it.
Okay, fine. That's helpful. And if I could just squeeze one more question on the number, and Sanjay, this is right. So on the number of products, Sanjay, that you expect to launch in U.S. this fiscal, I just missed the number. How many products do you expect?
Well, on the whole, I expect about 10 ANDA approvals this year.
And do you expect all 10 to be commercialized this year, or would some of these be like future launches?
No, I would expect, all 10 of them to be commercialized this year, subject to, of course, getting the approvals.
Yeah, and you also made a comment which I again couldn't catch. The line was a little disturbing on a couple of these products being high ticket or something like that. Could you define high ticket? I mean, what is the range of revenue per product that you're assuming to be high ticket and what is the low ticket?
Essentially, a lot of these products, when we made this comment, for example, we were not very clear about what was going to happen on Rosucor or Rosuvastatin. And there are still a few products in our pipeline, in our launch plan, where we don't have a clear vision of the competitive scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So, these products are not generics yet, so they will become genericized in the course of the next few months. So it's kind of a little difficult to project which ones. But for us, at the scale at which Torrent operates, I would say a successful launch, I would say, is where we have about roughly 15% market share, and we have one or two anchor customers with us, and the pricing is determined more by the market as to what the market will bear at that point in time. So I wouldn't like to forecast as to which ones and how big they would be, but I could say that for the 10, our goal is to have at least one anchor customer for each one of our launches.
Understood. So all 10 launches in the remainder 9 months of this system.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Master from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Could you just please help me understand the capacity in Dahej? I was a little confused. So the current capacity is 3.5 billion tablets. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
And it will be ramped up to 6 billion by the end of the year?
Yes.
And on the full capacity of 6 billion, you'll do 750 million tablets a quarter.
I'm sorry?
And you said on a full year basis, you'll do 750 million tablets. That would be per quarter, right?
No. It is 6 billion. And I said we are going to initiate some debottlenecking whereby the capacity of phase one is likely to increase to 7.5 billion. That would be next year. That would be next year.
Right. Okay, and so did you give any guidance on how many tablets you will do? Any capacity utilization number?
As of now, it is difficult, but we are waiting for the additional product approvals to come in. So tentatively, I told that it could be about 50%, but it may vary.
Okay, so tentatively about 50% on a full year basis on the full capacity of 6 billion?
No. The capacity ramp up would happen gradually.
Okay.
So when you say 50%, it wouldn't be of the year-end capacity. It would be the average capacity.
Sure. Okay. Got that. And Mr. Sanjay, you mentioned 10 launches this year. So these are all from new approvals, right? This would not include your site transfers to the Hedge.
Yeah.
Right. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, and just one question on R&D. On a full year basis, would you still see it at 8%?
I'm sorry.
So R&D, you mentioned, on the last call, you mentioned R&D to sales would be 8%.
Yes.
So given that it's 6% this quarter, would we still see R&D to sales at 8% for the whole year?
So let's say that I would expect it to be higher than 6% every quarter. I cannot provide a precise guidance, but we should be in the 8% range.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Talati from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just a further question on Dahej. I mean, when I look at your volumes, it seems you're roughly probably doing in the region of 2 to 2.5 billion tablets a year in the U.S. And we're talking about 7.5 billion a year just coming from Dahej. When I compare this to some of your peers who got $1 billion odd base in the U.S., they are doing in the range of 4 to 6, maybe $7 billion. So what's the thought process here? I mean, you just want to fill capacities or, I mean, I'm really struggling to kind of, you know, get, you know, to see the match here.
So, yeah, let's dial back a little bit. So our current volumes in the U.S. are in the range of about 300 crores a year. Okay?
Yes.
So that is what's happening. The Hedge is going to be approved for US, for Brazil, and for Europe. And so that is the objective. And we would, so it's a phase one capacity of the Hedge. At the end of phase one would be 7.5 billion. As of now, the capacity is only 3.5 billion. And during Q1, the amount of product that we received from the Hedge is in the range of, let's say, 40 to 50 crore tablets only. So the ramp up is a little slow and the capacity utilization, it is following behind the capacity. And our plan is to progressively move the U.S. business to the Hedge and to free up Indrad for the European, German markets as well as for some other markets for which it is approved, even the Brazilian market. So it is an overall plan. And as I mentioned before in previous calls, that our target this year is to file about 15 to 20 ANDAs. And going forward, we are building R&D capacity capable of filing, close to 25 to 30 ANDAs per year. So as we ramp up our filing efforts in the U.S., all these products will be manufactured in-house. So the capacity expansion in the Hedge is not like, I would say, a one-year plan. It's a multi-year project linked to our pipeline building, build-up, and ability to ramp up manufacturing. And just another point on Germany. So if you look at the German generics market, which is roughly about 5.5 billion, Torrent's covered market is only about 3 billion. And in those covered markets also, the tenders which come out, we bid for only a fraction of the tenders that come out. So our objective is twofold. One is to increase our amount of bids that we place in our covered market. And secondly, is also to expand the overall covered market to cover, I would say, 80-90% of the generics market. So the Hedge is part of that scheme also. And it's also part of the scheme where the Hedge approval we expect in Brazil before the end of the year. And as we ramp up Brazil, there will be more product shipped from there. So it's a part of an overall long-term growth story.
Would it be fair to say that on a full capacity of 7.5 billion, it would probably take you 3 years plus to achieve 80% utilization?
I'm not seeing those projections, so hard for me to comment. Because what we are doing is also we are moving capacities amongst plants and are trying to optimize things. So let's see. But you know, I can tell you that you know you can build your projections. So roughly, we sell about 300 crores in the U.S. Any idea how much we sell in Brazil? About 150 crores goes to Brazil right now. So yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have the figures for how many tablets we ship to Brazil and Germany per year. I'll prefer getting back to you with some exact figures as to what that would be. And maybe we can come back to you on that.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. First one clarification. Did I hear correct that The U.S. business, what we have seen is Abilify some decline and some base business erosion, and we have seen positive Q&Q impact of Detrol and Nexium generics.
Yeah, that's correct.
So I'm just trying to understand how would, Detrol being generic a couple of quarters back, this quarter versus last quarter, there would have been some erosion, right? I mean, or we continue to get more customers, or how we are gaining Q&Q on Detrol and Nexium, if you could highlight that.
Yeah, so just to highlight for it, Detrol is essentially a four-player market, and one of the players is Pfizer, Greenstone, and then Mylan and Teva. So we are not seeing any pricing action on Detrol. It's a fairly stable market. And Esomeprazole also, because of what happened to two of my peers, the pricing has been has declined. It's not at where it was, but I wouldn't say the pricing is unstable as of now. So when I was referring to price declines, I was more referring to the base business, which means in terms of older ANDAs.
Mm-hmm. So dollar terms, we have improved on Detrol and Nexium is what I can conclude.
We have improved on overall sales basis, yes.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for this. And secondly, on India business, if you could just, highlight the fiscal 16, what was the MR and how, is there any change in this quarter and for the year expected?
No, there is no change in the number of MRs.
What was the number, sir?
Last year and this year, it would be about 2,850.
This is at the end of March 16?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you expect any increase or decrease over the year, sir?
At least for this full year, we are not having any plans to increase our field force.
Okay, understood. Thanks. And last question. Sir, on the acquisition plans, we have earlier highlighted that there was something in the injectable side, but given valuation, we let it go. On the injectables, especially in the U.S., is the focus still on? We're still looking at assets. If you could highlight.
In the last 6 to 9 months, Torrent has created a dedicated team for business development, which looks at all external growth opportunities. So I would say the focus is very much there. And both in terms of what we call external R&D, in terms of in-licensing projects, acquiring products, as well as in terms of evaluating M&A opportunities.
So with the prime focus being injectables?
No, the prime focus being two. One is to increase the scale of the business, and second is to diversify the business away from oral solids, be it in dosage forms, like injectables, like even dermatology for that matter. So injectables we spoke about because our business is almost 100% retail, which is, as you know, their customer consolidation. There's essentially going to be four large customers from next March onwards in that space. And by going into injectables, you allow your business to add about four or five more anchor customers in terms of the hospital GPOs. So as a result of which, injectables becomes an attractive segment when you're becoming overtly dependent upon a small number of customers. So in that context, we had mentioned the injectable space, but it's not the only space we are interested in.
Great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse.
Yeah, Sanjay sir, just one clarity. You mentioned to my question that the ex-Abilify base business has grown in double digits. I think looks like that comment was on year-on-year basis. My question was largely on a sequential basis, March quarter to June quarter. How would the base business would have done? Flattish or up low single digit? Would that be a right assessment?
In terms of quarter and quarter, it has gone up, but I won't be able to give you the figure because I actually was in my, all my comparatives were built versus quarter of last year. Quarter on quarter, the trend is up.
It's up.
I don't have the figure in my head yet.
Sure. That's helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of San Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, just on the U.S. business, just a clarification, you mentioned excluding Abilify, the revenues have increased low double digit year over year?
Yes.
Okay. So the thing is, on Abilify, if I do my rough calculation, you would still be having a run rate of close to $100 million and the market seems to be very large. And, you know, you gave example of Crestor where the prices have corrected significantly. So, I mean, what is the risk of a sudden correction here? Because there are many players already in the market. Is it the litigation or, and you know, if any color you can give on possible direction there?
So, firstly, I think your calculations of Abilify might not be correct. And secondly, I would say is that there is a strong risk of ongoing litigation on this product because, you know, Otsuka is not letting up. And this litigation is going to go on for a few years. Well, we took the chance of launching at risk on the advice of our legal advisors. But beyond that, I wouldn't like to comment on the litigation because, you know, it's something which should be decided by the courts at an appropriate time. But we feel fairly confident in our case. And that is the reason why we chose to launch at risk. So the litigation risk is there. Besides the litigation risk, there is always the risk of new entrants which come that leads to, I'll say, additional or irrational or unexpected price erosion. So that risk is always there. Beyond that, there is, beyond the litigation and price reduction, everything else is fine.
The position is materially different for each player. Or everyone sees similar risk and therefore the prices are high. I mean, if it's not very high for some, you know, they may come and bring down the price.
Yeah, I mean, generally we see that since we are talking about a pure generic market, which is extremely price sensitive, so you would expect a new entrant to come and make the price argument. And as long as there are attractive margins available, that would be a rational behavior. So as new players come in and they look for, their entry market share or whatever target they've set, each of the incumbents will have its own strategy. Some incumbents, would let business go depending upon their internal margin thresholds, and some incumbents would hang on to it. So I wouldn't like to prejudge as to what Torrent would do on what price level. But we have our own metrics in terms of evaluating whether we are giving up share or we are matching the price or we are going more aggressive. So it's a case-by-case approach.
Okay. And sir, my final question, you mentioned about, you know, to an earlier question about possible launch of Sevelamer products. So is it like, seems to be a lot of uncertainty on the timing there. Do you think FDA can potentially approve generics this fiscal? And is that in your, 10 product launch that you're expecting?
So, prejudge on what the FDA might do or might not do. As per Torrent is concerned, we responded to all the queries. So the response is awaited any day or it could be months or it could be additional queries. Mm-hmm. So I have a kind of tentative schedule of approvals on the basis of which I'm guiding to 10. And there is possibility that Sevelamer might be on it or might not be on it. So that's the reason why I don't like getting specific on which products will come, which products will not come. We expect about 10 approvals this year. And if the approvals come, we would expect to launch those products in the current year. But I would update you quarter on quarter, sir.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I think that's all the...
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So, thank you very much for staying up this late and bearing with us for this delay in the call. I look forward to speaking to you during the next quarter, and a very good night to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.